Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi there, it's time to start the show, but first, here's a word from Stephanie Miller.
Well, if you ever catch yourself thinking when looking in the mirror, I wish my under-eye bags would just go away. You're not alone. Bags and puffiness under the eyes are a problem for millions of American men and women. Until now, introducing my new favorite, the new GenuCell Serum with plant stem cell technology from Chamonix. Susan from New Jersey wrote me, I've been using GenuCell for a couple months. The puffiness around my eyes is gone. Even the crow's feet and small lines have disappeared and haven't come back. I love this product. I use it under my eyes, around the cheekbones, and on my eyelids. With its instant effects, Chamonix says you'll see results in the first 12 hours or your money back. They guarantee it. Order now and save big on GenuCell's risk-free introductory offer. Go to lovegenucell.com/Stephanie. That's G-E-N-U-C-E-L. For an instant 10% off your order, order now. You'll get the amazing GenuCell XB face cream when you order the exclusive GenuCell most popular package at checkout. That's love, GenuCell.com/Stephanie. lovegenucell.com/Stephanie.
And now let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA, covering the whole wide world.
Right on!
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Newman, Kramer, if you'll indulge me. According to your story, Hernandez passes you and starts walking up the ramp.
Mm-hmm.
Then you say you were struck on the right temple. The spit then proceeds to ricochet off the temple, striking Newman between the third and the fourth rib. The spit then came off the rib, made a right turn, hitting Newman in the right wrist, causing him to drop his baseball cap. The spit then splashed off the wrist, pauses in midair, mind you, makes a left turn, and lands on Newman's left thigh. That is one magic loogie. What happened to your head when you got hit?
Well, my head went back and to the left.
Say that again.
Back and to the left.
Back and to the left. Back and to the left.
I'm leaving. Kerry's a nut.
Bob Seska.
Today's Rachel Maddow Show Award for Headline Excellence goes to Bob Seska.
The Bob Seska Show.
Oh, by the way, we got Larry Charles next week. Larry Charles returning the show next Wednesday. I can't fucking wait. From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, June 15, 2021. And this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, what's up? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Day 147 of the Biden-Harris administration. 510 days until the 22 midterms. I have some good news about that coming up here in a second. Find me on Instagram at TheBobSeska and on Twitter at BobSeska_go. And oh, yes, here he is.
Yeah.
Buzz.
You've said it all.
Hey,
what's up?
Hi, Bob. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
It's great to be back, isn't it? Yeah, great to be back in front of a live studio audience. Isn't that nice?
Yes, it is.
I almost didn't hear my introduction over the cicadas, though. He is Bob.
Yeah.
I am Buzz.
Right.
And we're just trying to figure out where to put our Pulitzers. the Pulitzer Committee passed us up again, Bob.
Yeah.
We also didn't make Trump's enemies list, but it was an honor just to be nominated.
I know. 5 years running, we keep getting snubbed.
Bob and I were both almost late for the show today. We have been super busy spying on our lawyer. All the kids are doing it.
I know.
But you know who I feel sorry for right now? That poor Merrick Garland.
Oh, I know.
Merrick so Garland sad. Trying to figure out. Yeah. It is truly sad. Yeah. Here's a man trying to figure out if he should investigate the investigators who investigated the investigators. Joe Biden is meeting with Vladimir Putin tomorrow, Wednesday, a big summit, among other things. They're going to talk about a possible prisoner swap. Here's the deal, as Joe Biden would say. They give us two wrongly imprisoned Americans, and we give them Trump and Bill Barr. The Bob Seska Show. What do you say?
All right, here's a classic from Rocky Mountain Mike. Yep.
Jeffrey works for the New Yorker. Saving his penis for fun day. Jane Mayer, she had a word in the chat. She said, Jeffrey, we all see your pee-pee. Yeah, and working on that, you can throw out your back. You ought to know by now. Stay in your house with your hacks and jacks. Is that what he does with his money? And it seems he's got too much time. If that's what he's all about, Jeffrey, if that's tubing up, then I'm tubing out. Ooh, I'm tubing out.
Rocky Mountain Mike. Rocky_Mountain_Mike on Instagram. Follow him now.
Are monkeys running CNN? What's going on over there?
I think so.
You know, why? Why? I mean, you have Rick Santorum, and he's gone, I guess. But it's always somebody. And now they're bringing back Jeffrey Toobin.
Right.
Because, you know, they're a credible news operation.
Just keep them away from technology. You know, this is the thing. I keep going back, because we talked about this a little bit on the after party on Friday, is that the thing with Jeffrey Toobin is not only did it show poor judgment, but it just showed a lack of understanding about how shit works. You know what I mean?
And like, that's just CNN.
I mean, how do you get through most of the pandemic where we were all using Zoom practically on a daily basis, and you get all the way to that point? When was it? A few months ago? And he didn't realize that his camera was on. Come on. Seriously. And also, if the urge to jerk off is that powerful, that it's just, it's in that close a proximity to an actual Zoom meeting, you might have a problem.
You have a problem, absolutely. Yeah, no question about it. I think, you know, maybe he thought he was, maybe he had more than one screen. Maybe he had a little something going on another screen.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Right.
And, you know, it's so easy to get confused, and he'd been locked up for a very long time. No, the man has a problem. And CNN has a problem, for crying out loud. That's the most ridiculous part of all of this. You know, I understand man has a problem, has to go away. Only CNN would put him back on the air. CNN. What the hell's going on over there?
No shit. And what's the other screen, by the way? You mentioned there are two screens. So I'm thinking, what? Does he have his own Pornhub Tinder, live Grindr, channel or something?
I don't know.
What Jeffrey Toobin's doing three shows, five on Saturdays?
You know, he had to squeeze in a Zoom meeting. And, well, the wires got crossed. One thing led to another. You know how it goes.
Yeah, and by the way, regarding the Batman versus Catwoman controversy from Twitter yesterday, we're going to be covering that a little bit on the Stephanie Miller Show tomorrow morning, but mostly on Friday's after party. I'm sorry to disappoint everybody. I know everyone was looking forward to me weighing in on Batman and Cunnilingus, but we're going to have to wait. I'm saving it. I'm saving that one up.
Eager to hear that.
Right. And then Kimberly and I will talk about it on Friday's after party a little bit more depth. There's only so far you can go on broadcast radio tomorrow. So
yeah, that's true.
Well, so the Trump DOJ spied on members of Congress. They tried to spy on Don McGahn, their own guy. We already knew they spied on journalists from CNN. And where was it? New York Times,
Washington Post, all three outlets, the Post, the Times, and CNN. I guess they were checking to see if Jeffrey Toobin was coming back.
Those are the
targets of that in terms of the media that we know of so far. There may well have been others, but those were on Trump's enemies list. All three of those networks had been publicly, those news outlets have been publicly called out by Trump as being his enemy, as were the Republican, Don McGahn, the Republican White House Council, and at least two Democrats, and I think we'll probably learn of more But Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell as well. What is this? You put all this together, what do you have? You have an enemies list.
Yeah.
And for the first time in American history, out Nixoning Nixon, these folks were investigated by the Justice Department.
And I'm so glad you went there, because I was just going to ask you, the guy who started his entire career covering Watergate, the parallels to Nixon and all of this, the gigantic overlaps between what Nixon was doing with the White House plumbers and what Donald Trump did. And the question that I have is Donald Trump borrowing the Nixon shit, or is he just so fucking clueless that he just stumbled into the same Nixon shit just by accident because he's so corrupt? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
which one of those two things is it?
I really think it's the latter. If you think Trump is following any kind of model, you're mistaken, because that would require him to learn the model, and that involves the word learn, and so you see how that all falls apart when you break it down like that.
Yeah.
No, he's winging it. He's doing his Carnival Barker con man thing, his mob boss thing, and he was following his instincts, I think. This was all knee-jerk instinct, in the moment. You know, you remember he was always very much in the moment a president, and in that particular moment he did these things. And now we have William Barr, and we have Jeff Sessions, and even Rod Rosenstein. Keep an eye on this man, Rod Rosenstein. I once thought he might be a good guy. I'm now thinking he might very, very well be a bad guy, and I think there's growing evidence of that. I'm glad that he's now included among those who are likely to be subpoenaed, at least by the House, even if the Senate isn't able to do it. It's more of the same.
Yeah.
We thought we were out of the nightmare, but the nightmare lives on. And from what I'm hearing is what you predicted a year or two ago, and that is we're going to be repairing these things for the next 10 years.
Oh, yeah, if not longer. I mean, it's going to be an ongoing process to plug all of these holes, all these giant gaping holes in the wall. You know, Trump, like the Kool-Aid man, bashing through all of these democratic norms, and it's just going to be a matter of time before those things get repaired. Because, as you know, the ship of state in the United States, it takes a long time to steer that ship in a U-turn or make a course correction or something like that, you know?
And we're taking on water at the same time.
Oh, my God.
Unfortunately, because what I've heard people echo over the last week, what I said here a week ago today, and that is, although all elections have been declared the most important of our lives in recent memory, this next one, 2022, is for, and let me underscore this phrase, it's for all the marbles.
All the marbles, yep.
It's everything. It's democracy. I mean, it's that serious. The crisis is that serious, even with Trump out of office.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't rise not just to the occasion, but above the occasion, we will go underwater.
Yeah, and along those lines, I want to get back to the DOJ thing in just a second. As we continue on here, I just wanted to mention, along the lines of the 22 midterms, I posted this yesterday on Twitter, and it's thankfully getting some traffic. It's getting some views on it, which is nice. And here it is. This is a reason for hope for 2022. I know last week was the week of despair, the bleak week.
You mean it got better and no one told me?
Well, last week, everyone was feeling like shit. People were just, you know, screaming and upset and crying all over Twitter. And so here's reason for hope for 2022. Next year, in the midterm elections, there are 20 Republican Senate seats up for grabs, compared with only 14 Democratic seats. That means the Republicans have to defend more of their seats than the Democrats do. Now, look, it's only a 6-seat separation between those, but still, that gives an advantage. Republicans have to spend more resources to defend all of those seats compared to only 14 Democratic seats.
We do. It is an advantage, and we need every advantage that we can get, but we must not forget, between now and then, that Republican legislatures across the country, I think in some 41 states now, there are laws to restrict voter access.
Yeah.
And increasingly, in I think more than a dozen states now, perhaps 14, there are laws that allow Republican election officials to overturn the results of an election. So it's important that we have every advantage we can get, and that is a real advantage. There are other real advantages that we have. But just remember, there is this lurking danger of Republican election officials overturning the results of elections. That's where we are right now.
Yeah.
As I said on the show several weeks ago, had these rules been in effect in 2021, Donald Trump would still be president. And
yeah,
that's what we're looking at in the future. And here's why I bring that up, because there's a ray of hope there if people get off their asses and do something.
Absolutely.
People have quit out of rightful fear for their lives and the safety of their families. Have quit their election their jobs as election officials.
Yep.
And who's going to fill those vacancies? Republicans who support Donald Trump, who are eager to take advantage of these new laws to overturn elections. Be afraid of this to the point of writing your senators and congressmen, no matter how Democratic or Republican they may be.
Yeah.
No matter how you may live in California and feel like you're safe, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
If you live in Texas, you're definitely not safe.
Well, the baseline, I mean, let's set those things aside, because it's the same issue, but we can kind of tackle these things one thing at a time. Like, okay, as a baseline, just in terms of 34 Senate seats that are up for grabs in 2022, right, a bunch of those Republicans are actually retiring. So it's taken the incumbent mm-hmm. off the table. I think specifically Pat Toomey in Pennsylvania is retiring. Ron Johnson might retire.
Another advantage.
Plus, you have both of those races, Ron Johnson and Pat Toomey, both Republicans, Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, in states that Biden won last year. So right, the Republicans have a tough haul in those two seats. Now, if the Democrats can, one, defend all the seats, defend all of their 14 seats, or, right, emerge with a net improvement in the Senate, that's great. But the key to all of this is going to be, as we've discussed in many years past, which is that, uh-huh, yes, we know that there is voter suppression. We know there's voter ID laws. We know that Republicans are going to play grab ass with the results of the election if they can. Plus, on the House side, you've got gerrymandering. Certainly on the state legislature side, you've got gerrymandering. But if the Democrats can seriously bring the energy and bring the hustle,
right,
then it can turn out well. And I right, believe that these laws are being passed soon enough that the Democratic Party will be able to combat some of these things. And,
yeah,
and
you're right.
House Marks has a good point about some of the voter suppression efforts contained in the election laws, which is that he's relatively competent. I think I heard Joy Reid explaining a similar thing recently, which is that, yeah, the get out the vote effort is going to be geared around some of these new structural hurdles at the polling places that we're going to have to deal with. And bear in mind, too, there are a couple of other things here, too. And then I get back to the DOJ thing. But all of the shit that Donald Trump and the Republicans have been screaming about with regard to the 2022 election, uh-huh, or not the 2022 election, but last year's 2020 election,
right,
is actually working to depress Republican turnout, because Republican voters, red hats, are going, well, shit, if the Democrats are just going to steal the election, why even fucking bother? And we don't want to fall into that same trap ourselves. And so I think one of the theories is, and this is what Hal Sparks was talking about, one of the theories is that these election laws are meant to assuage some of the depressed Republican voter turnout. It's trying to calm their own voters down after spending, what now, 6 months with, Republican leadership screaming about, how the election was stolen. Of course, without right, any evidence whatsoever to prove right, that. It's all shit that Donald Trump made up. But yeah, of course, Donald Trump is going to care more about his own fate than the overall status of the party and its voters and its get out the vote effort and the potential for depressed turnout and so on. He didn't give a shit about that. All he wants is to prove himself to have actually won the election.
Republicans have started to realize that their discrediting of elections is hurting them as well. Some of that is beginning to soak in.
There are
numerous advantages. Another advantage Democratic voters can take some comfort in is the fact that Joe Biden is president, and Joe Biden is a very popular president.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
People from both parties like what Joe, voters from both parties like what Joe Biden is doing, despite what you hear from the likes of Mitch McConnell and Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh, yeah. And in fact, just to throw this in at this point, is that Joe Biden's approval poll average, according to Real Clear Politics, has now leveled off at plus 12. You know, usually what you see is a president is inaugurated and their approval numbers are really, really high. And then you see those two lines slowly begin to converge over time. The disapproval and approval lines slowly begin to get closer and closer until sometimes they overlap. In the case with Donald Trump, the disapproval rose higher than the approval line on the graph. But now Joe Biden's approval polls, the approval and the disapproval have leveled off. They're holding steady. They're not they're not converging. They're actually parallel to each other at plus 12. And that is enormous.
The closest those two lines have come to each other is 12 points, which is which is a landslide in election terms.
Yeah, absolutely. So right now, even Rasmussen has them tied, which is just fuck Rasmussen. They're very, very heavily weighted.
We need to stop including them in the averages.
I know. But I mean, the margin for Rasmussen has been as high as 7 or 8 in recent times here. Reuters has them at plus 15. The Hill has them at plus 22. Economist plus 8, Politico Morning Consult plus 9, IBD Tip plus 27, Fox News plus 12, Quinnipiac plus 8. These are all Joe Biden's approval numbers. Just enormous. If these numbers hold going into the midterms, I have a feeling that people will reward the Democrats, provided, you know, all things being the way they are right now. Things could turn out very, very well. Now, that's all to say that the only way they're going to turn out well is if we just fucking bring the energy. If we start building the energy, we start building the hustle, and we outnumber them. There are more of us than there are of them. If we can do this, then, you know, we're going to gain more of a majority in the Senate, or we're going to gain a majority in the Senate, because right now it's 50-50. And in the House, we'll expand the majority, and that's the entire goal. And remember, in the House, they've done everything you want them to do. The House of Representatives has passed all of the things on the wish list for this term. So bear that in mind when you step into the voting booth and you start going down the ballot, and there are those House races.
Yeah, if you're a moderate Democrat or a very, very progressive Democrat or anywhere in between, the House, the Democrats in the House who have the majority there have already done everything on your wish list.
Yeah.
And I like a lot of other people, I'm getting tired of seeing what the Democrats haven't done. Why haven't the Democrats done this? Why haven't they subpoenaed Bill Barr? And they may get to that. Certainly the House, I believe, will subpoena them. They can't do it in the Senate because it is 50-50. The committees are evenly divided, and it takes a committee to move that to the floor, to move that subpoena to the floor. And because the committees are 50-50, there is no Democratic majority in the Senate to do that in committee, to get it out of committee. So these accusations that the Democrats aren't doing anything are disproven what you've just listed, that all the things the House has done that's on every progressive and every Democrat's wish list, and what the Senate hasn't done because it can't, and that's why it's so important. I love Bring the Energy. I think that would make a great slogan.
Oh, yeah.
Bring the Energy 2020. And it would especially be effective, I think, in Texas, where they're being told not to wash their dishes or something because of the grid again. Yeah. Texas, let me just throw this in because I know I keep taking this off track, but this has to be said, and it is being said by a number of people, and that is that Texas the legislature there managed this year to find time to restrict women's health rights.
Right.
They found time to restrict voters' rights. Governor Abbott's talking about using Texas taxpayer money to build a Texas wall against Mexico, but that power grid that failed them over the winter, now that the heat of summer is setting in and setting in earlier than ever because of climate change, the state and the legislature and the governor have done nothing to fix that grid, and the lights are about to go out in Texas again. So, yeah, bring the energy. 2020 would be a good slogan for the nation and for Texas.
Yeah, maybe a shirt along those lines. Maybe I'll reopen our store on the website.
You
maybe. Okay, well, I mean, along those lines, talking about subpoenas and the 50-50 Senate, there is one possibility to subpoena some of these guys in the DOJ investigation, and that is to get Ben Sasse. Ben Sasse sits on the Judiciary Committee, the Senate Judiciary Committee. And of course, as you said, that's a 50-50 divide based on this power sharing deal that was made at the beginning of this Congress between Chuck Schumer, Mitch McConnell, and the fact that it is divided 50-50, I mean, minus Kamala Harris as a tiebreaker. So in the Senate Judiciary Committee, if they can get Ben Sasse to vote with the Democrats, they can get their subpoenas. Mm-hmm. And remember, Ben Sasse, when the rubber hits the road, when it came to voting on the second impeachment conviction in the Senate, Ben Sasse voted to convict Donald Trump.
This is another case where more than one thing can be true.
Yeah.
He's, I think, has been true to conservative values and represented ideas that you and I dislike.
Right.
But as you said, when the rubber meets the road, he tends to do the right thing, and I would think would be vulnerable to influence in this area.
Bear in mind, too, he voted in support of the 1-6 Commission, too, on the floor of the Senate.
Yes, he did.
So there's a possibility that when it comes to this DOJ spying business with Bill Barr and Jeff Sessions and maybe even Matt Whitaker in there, maybe Jeffrey Rosen in the mix as well, that, you know, Ben Sasse would at the very least vote to authorize subpoenas. It's not a guilty vote by any stretch of the imagination.
No,
this is a vote to say, okay, we're going to compel these guys to come in. And while Jerry Nadler and the House Judiciary Committee is doing their thing, because we learned last night that the House Judiciary Committee is launching an investigation. And at the same time, if the Senate Judiciary Committee launches its investigation, I think that would be a 1-2 punch that would be really formidable. Yeah,
I would remind our impatient, and Nancy Pelosi had a great quote about impatience. The quote ended with, "But I respect your impatience."
Yeah.
And I loved that.
Yeah.
And I respect everyone's impatience with this. But the way this is done is first you invite them to testify. And if they decline or hem and haw too much, then you subpoena them. You don't just subpoena them out of the gate. I know you'd like to. I know it would make things move faster. I know you'd like this movie to be over soon, but it just doesn't work that way. Take a breath. Patience and persistence, I would say.
Well, now, Buzz, they're using the Ronald Reagan Iran-Contra excuse, which is that, I don't know. I mean, I was just doing Bill Barr.
No, I know.
Mr. Barr, what do you think? Did you know about this?
What does it mean, this? I'm grappling with the word this.
Well, this is, you know, under oath is a different situation. Let's get him under oath and let's have the experienced and very talented prosecutors who are serving in the House ask him these questions, and for that matter, the Senate. But the House is kind of where the action is on this, I think. And let's have a talented prosecutor grill Bill. Let's grill Bill.
Grill Bill. There you go. Another T-shirt idea.
About this and do it under oath, and let's see what happens. Because a talented prosecutor knows how to trap those who are testifying or giving depositions. Yeah. It becomes even easier to do so if they have some kind of evidence they can present. So let's get some popcorn and see what happens.
Has anyone talked to Matt Whitaker about all of this? Has anyone questioned Matt Whitaker? I mean, members of the press. Has anyone called him up and said, did you know anything about this spying business about Schiff and Swalwell, the Intelligence Committee? I mean, do you know anything? Because remember, Matt Whitaker was the temporary guy, the acting, one of Trump's many actings between the firing of Jeff Sessions and the hiring of Bill Barr. And I'm wondering.
Also, within the last 12 hours, we learned that Trump had pressured
Jeffrey Rosen.
To investigate even after Bill Barr was gone.
Right, right.
They drag them all in.
Well, that was one of the big stories the last 12 hours or so, is that Jeffrey Rosen, who was the acting AG after Barr was fired. And in fact, we've learned that Barr was fired an hour after these memos went out to Jeffrey Rosen from Donald Trump, or Donald Trump's White House assistant.
So many
about
coincidences,
the election.
So many coincidences. And, you know, the same with, like, the McGann investigation. Mm-hmm. When the FBI started looking into McGann's communications on behalf of Donald Trump,
yeah.
that Bill Barr and Jeff Sessions and Rod Rosenstein say they know nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
When that all started, it was all simultaneous to, you know, McGann talking to Mueller, and it was at the height of the Russia investigation. It's very clear, you know, that you see these coincidental occurrences surrounding the very things we're investigating now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And this was another case of a Saturday night massacre. I mean, it wasn't as, you know, this guy goes and then that guy goes and then that guy goes. It wasn't sort of like that. But this is one of many Donald Trump Saturday night massacres involved in this Jeffrey Rosen election story, where it was an hour before Donald Trump fired Bill Barr, announced that Bill Barr was going to be stepping down. It was an hour before that when Donald Trump began pressuring Jeffrey Rosen, who was, of course, the acting AG, Trump's last AG.
Right.
Trump sent an email message via his assistant to Jeffrey Rosen, as I said a second ago, the incoming acting attorney general, that contained documents purporting to show evidence of election fraud in northern Michigan, the same claims that a federal judge had thrown out a week earlier in a lawsuit filed by Trump's personal lawyers. Another email from Trump to Mr. Rosen followed 2 weeks after that, again via the president's assistant, that included a draft of a brief that Mr. Trump wanted the Justice Department to file to the Supreme Court. It argued, among other things, that state officials had used the pandemic to weaken election security and pave the way for widespread election fraud. And that was a fucking scam that Donald Trump was carrying out since a year ago, last spring and early summer, the early days of the pandemic. Donald Trump started going after the mail-in voting. And that was all a way to tenderize his supporters' already soft skulls into supporting his campaign against mail-in voting. This is all about Donald Trump getting reelected. His entire strategy around COVID, all about Donald Trump getting elected. This is why, to me, I sometimes fall into that camp, Buzz, and I apologize. I sometimes get a little impatient, because I feel like with this shit,
with
COVID
too.
And the election and
I know
we and 1-6, I feel like, God, you got to rip the Band-Aid off. You got to be swift and scary about it, because otherwise we get copycats.
Yeah, we should be swifter than usual. We should be. And it's happened before at various times in our history, including during Watergate. There have been occasions when judges or various people at various levels of government have made a move that would normally be considered premature, but they knew they were right, and they were right.
Yeah,
this is one of those cases where I think things could be expedited. All I can tell my friends is it's a process. It's always been this way.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you just have to wait it out. It was a year after Nixon was gone that his attorney general went to prison.
Right.
It just takes time.
People
are on the case. Good people are on the case. We have reason, of course, to be concerned about who still occupies the Justice Department and whether Merrick Garland can clean house there. And I am serious when I say poor Merrick Garland. The guy's been on the job, 2 months? I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's been very long. Maybe I've lost track of time.
Right.
But he just got there, and Trump had already fired, you know, I mean, the place had been decimated from a personnel standpoint from previous administrations. Many of the people who remained are Trump supporters. And maybe they haven't spoken up or made themselves known, so it's going to take a little while to root out all the Trump supporters that are still pushing buttons behind the scenes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he's got his work cut out for him. But now, you know, I think he's now opening this investigation or, you know, looking what happened, trying to fix all of this shit.
Look, Merrick Garland, and I think I said a week or so ago, and I hate to keep doing that, but it's true. I said he needs to do something to let us know that he's on the right side of things. Mm-hmm. And in the week since, he's done exactly that.
Yeah.
I'm very satisfied. He has assured me through his policies and his decisions and his public remarks that he's dead serious about all of this and isn't going to let any of it slide. He's got a prioritization problem. He's got a lot of fires to put out. I mean, a lot of fires, and everybody's like, why haven't you got all the fires put out yet? You know, it's like,
right.
You know, so I do have some sympathy for the guy,
right.
But I do believe in him still. I just, again, patience and persistence, yeah, my friends.
And bear in mind that we spent 5 years trying to defend the rule of law. And right. that still applies even after right. Donald Trump is gone. I'm just throwing right. that out there. Remember, it's all about the rule of law. And if we start saying, hey, you know what? Fuck that law. No, 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 no. We got to follow the rule of law until the law is changed. And the way that, we change the law is we turn out with energy and hustle in the next election. That's how we change the laws.
That, there you go. That's, yeah. that said, Bob, that, yeah. that said, let's string them up. Let's string them all up.
There you go.
So we can see, we can let it out that way, maybe.
That, perfect, perfect, absolutely perfect. Well, you know what? There's so much going on in the world that can make it difficult for us to relax and decompress, whether it's Mitch McConnell, Donald Trump, Bill Barr, et cetera, Congress, what have you, the next election. Oh, my God. But fear not. Now there are CBD gummies called Sunday Scaries. So if you're looking for a way to decompress, Sunday Scaries can help. Visit SundayScaries.com. Use the promo code SEXYLIBERAL, all one word, at checkout, and get 25% off your order. That's 25% off at SundayScaries.com with the promo code SEXYLIBERAL. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. These products are not for use by any persons under the age of 18. That's SundayScaries.com. Use the promo code SEXYLIBERAL. Thank you.
The Bob Seska Show.
At best, and these days become so strange. They're all the same for us. I think I need a change. There's no lie and no excuse.
Oh yeah, I fucking love this song. This is a brand new recording artist of the show. This is Lee Thomas. A song called Cheap Cherry Wine from Melbourne, Australia. Cool. One of the reasons I love it so much. I love when we get international submissions here on the show to the indie music lineup, the indie music playlist on the show. Melbourne, Australia. That just blows me away. That's LeeThomasMusic.com. Cool. Link in the description to support Lee Thomas's music and this fucking amazing song. Yeah, another contender for Song of the Summer. BobSeska.com/music. We'd like to submit your stuff to the show. Thank you for doing that in advance. Okay.
Music of wonder from down under.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we get a lot of submissions from Australia. We
I noticed.
New Zealand. Yeah, amazing.
I'm going to have to cut a new liner for your music show.
I mean, I'm just so used to doing, you know, like when you come up in radio, you know how it is, Buzz. It's just like, right. it's local radio. So you're basically confined to whatever region that you're in, whatever town you're in. And this is just like people from Ukraine and Australia and New Zealand and all these faraway places.
And then in radio syndication came and, you know, we're bad. We're nationwide. Well, now, you know, that's nothing. You know, now we're worldwide. That's even more cool. I love podcasting for that reason, among others.
Well, here's a weird thing to admit on the show. I don't totally hate Joe Scarborough. I've had some very pleasant email exchanges, some DM exchanges with Joe Scarborough. I disagree with him when he was a Republican, a conservative Republican, and I'm about to disagree with him again.
Yeah, I still do, off and on. I mean, I think he's probably a good guy at heart, but sometimes he pisses us off.
Yeah, and this is a case where he pissed me off. This morning on the show, he was making the case that Republicans deserve credit for the vaccines, specifically Trump supporters, Donald Trump himself. They deserve to take credit for the vaccines. Now, irrespective of whatever Operation Warp Speed actually did, the fact of the matter is, this is like saying Hitler deserved credit for making the trains run on time. This is not a compliment that you dish out to fascist idiocrats. Sorry, I'm sorry. You say, that Adolf Hitler and those Nazis, man, they were spiffy dressers. They had the clothing, the costumes, unbelievable. No, 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 we don't say that shit.
I was tempted at first to say, look, this is a schoolyard argument. If they want to take credit for the vaccine, let them take credit for the vaccine. We got them on everything else.
Right.
But you're right. I mean, this is like Hitler built great roads. It doesn't really, you know, it just it doesn't help. You know, in fact, it may do more harm. Trump's the one who wouldn't wear a mask and wouldn't tell Americans to do so.
That's right.
He's the one who said it would go away. Mm-hmm. He's the one who came up with all these crazy ideas with bleach and injections and the UV lights and all that stuff. You know, so, you know, he just doesn't deserve any credit at all, no matter what he may have done. You know, Nixon was good on China.
Yeah.
How's that working out for us now?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we could sit here and talk about the Wuhan lab. We can talk about Anthony Fauci, but it was Donald Trump. The reason why 600,000 Americans are dead is because of Donald Trump's political ambitions, his lack of empathy, his lack of leadership skills, his complete rank incompetence, his dictatorial tendencies, all of it. That's why the pandemic was the disaster that it was here in the United States, and possibly it was Donald Trump's incompetence that made it a global disaster. Because really, as the, you know, as a world leader, as a superpower, we had a responsibility to step in and plug that dike. I don't care if it was China or Russia or whatever, the Wuhan lab, someone ate a bat at a wet market, whatever the fuck it was, we have the infrastructure to be able to combat this stuff. And we have in the past. We have limited pandemics. We have been able to stop the bleeding, stop the hammering. And in this case, we could have done that. Donald Trump was far more concerned about pandering to his people than he was about doing the right thing and making the sacrifice.
Joe Biden has shown us what a competent presidency can do.
Yes.
And a vast majority of the American people approve, according to those polls we cited earlier. Mm-hmm. A couple of footnotes to what you just said.
Yeah.
One, as you were saying, 600,000 people died. I got a news alert on my phone from the Associated Press as we record this show.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. death toll from COVID-19 has now officially topped 600,000.
Jesus.
So that happened at we crossed that threshold at the moment that you spoke of it. I was also surprised, as a second footnote, to hear Jon Stewart on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert last night espouse that he believes that it came from a lab.
You
know, and I couldn't really decide how serious he was about
I know.
but it concerned me that he even said that and made it seem as though he was serious. I kind of think he was because he went on to talk about his fears and concerns about science. That,
mm-hmm.
So, you know, it, maybe, but it doesn't matter. And it certainly wasn't. What I will never believe is that it was a weapon, that it was, bats, maybe. But developed as a weapon? No, I don't believe that.
No. And about Jon Stewart, I'm like you. I was initially concerned when I saw the headline on, I think it was on Mediaite. They have the video clip of last night on
the
Colbert Show. Yeah. And I went and watched the video of the segment. And initially I'm going, what the fuck are you doing, Jon Stewart? And then I kind of realized, is he satirizing Ron Johnson? I think he might be satirizing Ron Johnson.
But then in an additional segment, he talked about mistakes that have been made in science labs before. And he said, you notice nobody in the science lab ever says, oh, I don't think we ought to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and he may be right about that. You know, it was just interesting and surprising to hear. Mm. But again, we need to know to prevent future pandemics. And if it was science, then maybe they need to be reined in. But the real tragedy and the reason 600,000 people are dead is because of this mismanagement of the pandemic by Trump and other nations' leaders.
Yeah, and also, wasn't he saying, too, that the lab was named after, like, coronavirus is in the name of the lab? I thought it was the Wuhan Institute of Virology. I didn't know.
Yeah,
I didn't think the word.
He said the name on the building was the Wuhan
SARS
laboratory or something like that. And his thing was, and they're saying, no, we don't know how that got out. It must have been a bat, you know, and that was the thing they were working on.
Yeah.
So, you know, who knows? But does it really make any difference? To me, the issue is the mismanagement that killed 600,000 people.
That's right.
That lab didn't kill 600,000 people.
No.
What the lab did, if it were a mistake, and if it were the lab, that could have been limited. And China's government is to blame for not getting on that sooner, although they're doing a much better job with this now than we are. Yeah. You know, they treated this past week, they tested 19 million people in 3 days.
Jesus, that's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it helps if you have a, you know, an autocracy.
Yeah.
But where you can order people to do that. But it's still pretty astounding.
Yeah, it is.
What they are able to accomplish that we are not.
Yeah. Well, there were three things initially that Donald Trump did horribly wrong when it came to that. I'll just throw this in here. First of all, not acting quickly enough. And then when he did, he only closed travel from China, allowing those travelers to, you know, not fly directly from China to the United States, but instead they traveled from China to Great Britain and then to New York City.
Right.
And that's how they got in. And that's probably one of the reasons why, other than the lack of initial action.
This is Mr. Border Security, by the way.
Yeah, exactly fucking right. That's how it ends up here and spreading in large ways, where the quantity of people
taking it seriously and lying about it and being proudly defiant of it. And,
it's going to go away in the
all
spring.
Of that. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, being cavalier about it. That's what made it worse.
And then ultimately, about this time last year, liberate Michigan, liberate Virginia, et cetera. Right. That was the key. That's what threw the entire sacrifice part of this into absolute chaos. Because when once the president of the United States says, you know what, it's okay to defy all of the mask wearing and all of that shit. Fine, go out, do whatever you go to the pool parties and the beaches and do whatever the fuck you want. At that point, that's when it became an uncontrolled pandemic. That was all about, we're going to indulge these people, one. I'm going to indulge my own supporters. And two, I'm going to get them primed so they'll turn out to vote in person in November. That's what he was thinking about. And that's why he should be in prison right now. I just jump right to that.
String them up. String them all up.
Yeah. By the way, Bolsonaro, I think, is headed toward that kind of fate. I don't know if you saw the video of him getting on an airplane over the weekend and then everyone screaming at him to get off. That's amazing. Anyway.
No, I did not see that. But you know, to your point about Trump giving permission, he has given Americans who were so inclined anyway permission to do so many things.
Oh, yeah.
Permission to raspberry science, permission to be racist, permission to be violent, permission to flout the law. This is going to take some time to repair because even with him no longer in office, there are his followers who still feel they have that permission.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? Something else I want to get into here in just a second is Mitch McConnell. And the question of the hour is Mitch McConnell losing his marbles or is he up to something? I want to talk about that and a few other things before we wrap up the show right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com. Bob Seska.
Children, they could reach for the stars, then fed them red lead and bought their futures in VCRs. Now they're walking on the ocean floor, thinking they can swim. Now they're walking on the ocean floor, thinking they can swim.
Ah, the great Nick Lutzko. I think this is the lead track of his latest album. This is called Sideshow. NickLutzko.com. Also, follow him on Twitter, goddammit. That's where you get all of his great music videos. Yeah. Yeah, yesterday I went for a bike ride, then posted a selfie on Instagram of my face with that post-bike ride face where I'm just sweaty and my face is all red and I just look like shit. But here's my post-bike ride face. And Nick Lutzko jumped in the comments and said, "Hey, Bob, you look like me." Which is, that's Nick Lutzko's whole thing. By the way, you still there, Buzz? Hello?
I think I'm sorry.
Oh, hi. There he is.
Yes. Hi. There's this button you have to push. Who knew? This is the part of the show where the opioids have kicked in. So. What I was going to say was that these last two songs that you've just heard on Bob's show today are perfect examples of why you should listen to his monthly indie music countdown.
Thank you.
These guys will be on the next one, at the next turn of the month.
Mm-hmm.
But Bob has a whole library of these songs. And what you can do, you know how your phone, when it finishes playing one show, it goes on to the next?
Yeah.
Do that with Bob's Indie Music Countdown, and you've got this incredible soundtrack for the day. Like we say, it's all the best songs you never heard.
That's right. I love doing it. There's another one coming up. I believe it's going to be a little into July. I think it's going to be, I think it's another vacation day where I'm going to actually do an indie music countdown. July 4th, I think, will be the next indie music countdown. Gosh.
Well, how patriotic.
Yeah, that's great. How about that? But I'm going to be off that entire prior week from the 27th. Through July 4th. That will be there will be no shows that week. I haven't missed a week since the holidays, so I think I could use a refueling of the outrage tanks. Yeah,
you're definitely due.
Yeah, so right, that'll
I'll,
be
I'll make a note of that on my calendar.
Thank you so much. Yeah, there will be no shows that week. Okay, so sorry, but I'm so looking forward to it. Thank you. So Mitch McConnell, as I said before the break, is either losing his marbles or he's up to something. And that's the choice that we have to make. We have to decide which it's going to be and then approach the story accordingly. Mitch McConnell, he threatened
it's our quiz show music. I'm sorry.
There you go. Okay. Gotcha. He threatened to block any Supreme Court nominee put forward by Joe Biden during the 2024 election cycle. And he's probably going to try it in 2023.
Sure.
What we have to do is assume that if Mitch McConnell, first of all, if the Republicans get a majority in the Senate in 2022, once that Congress is sworn in and Mitch McConnell is the majority leader again, you can pretty much count on the fact that we will not be able to replace Stephen Breyer if he steps down. So the key to all of this, and this is like,
I think
this is basically Mitch McConnell putting a big spotlight on Stephen Breyer and saying, you better resign, which is weird to me. Like, why would Mitch McConnell want to preserve that seat with the liberal side of the Supreme Court for another generation? And that's what I don't understand. That's the losing his marbles side of this. Because he's saying to Joe Biden, he's saying to Stephen Breyer, even more importantly, it's probably time to step down after this session, after the Supreme Court term.
McConnell has always been, despite the other things we know about him to be true, has always been considered to be a fairly brilliant congressional strategist.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not looking outside the box. Maybe he's not looking outside of Congress on this. I don't know. But here again, you've given, for the second time in today's show, an example of Republicans handing Democrats an advantage.
Yeah.
It does seem odd. I think McConnell is thinking strictly legislatively, this is his, and in that role, he's Lucy holding the football, hoping Democrats will believe him and go running for it, and then he can yank the football away.
Yeah.
That's what I think he's thinking, but he's not thinking outside of that box.
Mm-hmm.
That's my best guess.
Yeah.
inside Congress, a brilliant strategist, a big picture guy. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, count on this, that I'm predicting this now. I'm going way out on a limb at this point, that Stephen Breyer will step down at the end of this term, which means we're probably going to have a Supreme Court confirmation in the fall, early winter. I think that's the last chance to do it, because you get into 2022 and then it's all about elections and members of Congress are flying in and out of their districts or their home states. And so you end up with a situation that you're leading up to an election again. You give the Republicans an opportunity to scream about how, oh, we can't confirm a justice right before an election, la, 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 all the nonsense that they did with Merrick Garland last time around. Even though they don't have the power to do that necessarily, they can still kind of convince someone like Joe Manchin or Kyrsten Sinema to be flies in the ointment once again. So there's a consideration. So the timing has to be just right for Stephen Breyer to step down. And if he doesn't step down before January, whatever it is, January 6th or January 1st of 2023, then we're up Schitt's Creek again. Because here we have another RBG situation where RBG could have stepped down while Barack Obama was still president. And we could have saved that seat for the liberal side on the Supreme Court for another generation. But she didn't do it. I think one of her only mistakes ever history as a jurist.
We can understand. I mean, she just didn't want to let go of that job and remain competent in it for as long as she could do it. Mm-hmm. But first Monday in October rolls around, and we need a Supreme Court in place. I would be, I don't know how it's going to go. I can't predict what's going to happen or whether or not we're going to be able to make this happen.
Yeah.
But I certainly hope so. It is an opportunity that we don't get very often.
And if the Republicans are able to replace Stephen Breyer, that's going to be, holy shit, that's going to be a 7-2 Supreme Court. 7 conservatives, 2 liberals. Elena Kagan and Sonia Sotomayor. That'll be
the... What's the point? Yeah. What's the point at that point?
Yeah, exactly. So you're counting on John Roberts and maybe fucking Brett Kavanaugh to do the right thing? No way! That's never going to happen. Save that seat. Save Breyer's seat for another generation. Get some younger blood in there. And by the way, it's not going to be Hillary Clinton and it's not going to be Barack Obama. So you got to disabuse yourselves of that fantasy. It's not going to be either of those two. It'll be someone who's in line, someone from the appeals court level or something like that.
I've even heard a name. I mean, I think it's already, I think they've already figured that out at the White House, who the nominee will be.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sorry, I don't have the name at my disposal at this moment.
All right.
A respected judge.
Yeah, but it's someone who they can get Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin to support. That's not the motivating factor behind choosing this person, but it's going to be someone that they can get the entire Democratic caucus in the Senate behind, right?
Right. Yeah. There's always those practical considerations. Absolutely. Yeah,
exactly right. You know what? I always land on the shitty news story right before we're ready to wrap up.
You do it on purpose. We all think you do it on purpose. Actually,
there have been conversations along those lines, Buzz, DMs back and forth. Why does Bob always do this? But the FBI has issued a warning that QAnon might become more violent.
FBI, I saw this.
They've warned lawmakers that QAnon digital soldiers, remember that is Mike Flynn's term for the QAnon people, digital soldiers, may become more violent. The FBI has warned lawmakers that online QAnon conspiracy theorists may carry out more acts of violence as they move from serving as digital soldiers to taking action in the real world following the January 6th U.S. Capitol attack. The shift is fueled by a belief among some of the conspiracy's more militant followers that they can no longer trust the plan, quote unquote, set forth by its mysterious standard bearer, simply known as Q.
When you go rogue on Q, you've really gone off the grid, haven't you?
That's right. I think in the backs of their twisted, worm-infested brains, they realized, oh, shit, Q is just Ron and Jim Watkins in the Philippines. It's not any actual guy.
The answer, gentlemen, is guns. They've been arming up. This is a very real concern. I'm glad the FBI put out the warning. I'm glad that you mentioned it here. I think it needs more coverage than that. I think it needs more emphasis than it's getting or that it's going to get.
Yeah.
So, spread the word. The FBI's warning that QAnon stands to become more violent, and we're talking about guns here.
I hope the FBI is like white on rice when it comes to guys like Mike Flynn and some of these other former military, former intelligence officials that are massing up in Northern Virginia. They're all Q adherents, or at least they're taking advantage of the fact that the QAnon conspiracy cult is so popular. And, you know, it's dwindling in popularity as I think it gets exposed for being a gigantic, colossal prank. Because that's the origin. I mean, Ron Watkins. I always get the two mixed up, but Ron Watkins is the son. Ron Watkins has a history of, using the internet to play elaborate pranks in the real world. And that's kind of where it all starts. Mm-hmm. And, while it is nauseating to look at and it is very stressful to look at, I do strongly recommend that Q documentary series. I believe it's on HBO Max. Episode 5 is particularly disturbing. I will say, I will warn you, episode 5 is hard to watch. It's not because it's gross or anything like that. It's just like, oh shit, they've really infiltrated, haven't they? But as we've seen since the January 6th insurrection, they're all getting booted off, polite circles on the internet. Yeah, but so that's good.
The numbers of Americans who believe that stuff, who believe the conspiracy theories, is frightening. And the number of guns we have sold.
Right.
I think I read today that 2020 was the worst year on history, or at least in decades, for gun violence, and that we're so far this year on track to be worse. I believe there have been more than 8,100 gun deaths since January 1st.
Yeah.
And that averages out, I understand, to about 54 a day.
Jesus
54
Christ.
People a day killed by gunfire. That's how many guns are out there, ladies and gentlemen. And some of those are in the hands of these people who believe these conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
The Q followers and now Q rogues who are even more militant and are armed to the teeth. The FBI's warning they could cut loose with anything at any time.
Yeah.
That's kind of an important warning. Know that you have been warned.
And all these badly impressionable people, I'm not going to go so far as to say they're idiots, but they might be idiots. I mean, all these badly impressionable people.
That was our band in college, remember? They might be idiots.
Yeah. And there, ladies and gentlemen, is the title of today's show. Thank you very much.
just in time, right?
Yeah, well, what's happening is they might be idiots, are being manipulated and radicalized by sociopaths who have no interest whatsoever in what the ramifications are of what they're doing, this elaborate prank that they're playing.
I don't know how many of you folks have come across a sociopath, a real sociopath in your life, personal contact with one.
Oh, I have.
I have. Mm-hmm. I have. Bob says he has. They're scary, right, Bob?
Yes.
Yeah, they are.
And I think we know some of the same sociopaths.
maybe. be that as it may, when they are armed and misinformed, when they are armed with guns and misinformation, pay attention to the FBI warning.
Yeah.
That's all we're saying.
Yeah, yeah. Just be careful. And August 15th appears to be the day. At least that's the skull.
Have you seen the tickets to Trump's second inauguration?
Yes, I did. Oh, Lord. Either that's a really bored person with lots of time on their hands who's printing up tickets for that. But by the way, Kid Rock is scheduled to perform. I mean, Kid Rock fans.
Of course, that's a given, I think.
Yeah. Or that's a very good Photoshop.
What do you mean they might be idiots?
Okay, well, here's the fun story. Here's the really what I wanted to lead up to end the show
All
with.
Right.
Did you see Dan Crenshaw's Summer of 1776 video?
Oh, Mr. Eye Patch? No, I didn't.
Yeah,
see it.
Yeah.
No.
Well, he's got a little bit of a Photoshop crisis for this video.
Really?
Because this screen grab for the video on Vimeo, it's of this tropical setting. And it's Dan Crenshaw with a white shirt on and a pair of sunglasses. Uh-huh. And right behind him is the superimposed words, Dan's first annual. And then it's supposed to be Dan's first annual summer of 1776, something, something. So he does this whole video on Vimeo. Except the way he's standing in front of the words Dan's first annual, it looks like Dan's fist anal. So there you go.
That's beautiful. That's the meme of the day.
Beautiful. Dan's fist anal will not be the title of today's show, but it's a good second place, I think.
Now we know how he lost his eye? I don't know.
All right. That's how we end the show. Perfection. All right.
The opioids will continue to kick in today's postmortem show.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, here's what you have to look for. We're going to talk about Ukraine a little bit. We're going to talk about Alex Jones a little bit, a little more insurrection talk regarding Alex Jones. Plus, maybe time to start biting your nails over the Supreme Court as the ACA decision looms. There's five more decisions that the Supreme Court has to hand down. We're going to talk about those five decisions coming up. Plus, I have a correction on Hacks on HBO. I was celebrating something last week, and I was inaccurate about something, and I'm not above making corrections when I fuck something up, and I got a correction about Hacks. Yeah, it's a minor one, but it's still.
But yeah, it's a good correction.
Good correction. Yes, yeah. Absolutely good correction. It was such a relief when I saw it. plus, Americans are keeping their cars longer. We're going to talk about that a little bit, up on the postmortem show. That is exclusively happening on our Patreon page, patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. If you're not signed up, you're really missing out on all the fun. You're missing out on the two postmortem shows every week. That's every Tuesday and every Thursday after we're done recording the free portion of the show. And you're also missing out on the after party on Fridays with me and Kimberly Johnson. It's an hour and a half of us shooting the shit about our personal lives, politics, pop culture, sex, drugs, whatever. All happens there. Yeah. And you're also missing out on a great community of listeners all joining in and conversing in the comments under each post. Ziggy Blue, Andrew Catino, all of our celebrities and famous people, our famous Patreon people that we know and love and we can't live without. Yeah, that's all happening on our Patreon. Again, patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. Go sign up. All you got to do is sign up for $1 a month. That's 25 cents a week. I think we can all spare 25 cents a week for a fully independent podcast here. And we, of course, thank you for that.
For $1 a week, you can have friends.
It's not even that. It's $1 a month, Buzz. $1 a month.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. And for that, you get access to the comments and so on, the little community that we call it, the community tab, where you can go and you can post your own blog entries there, too. As I said, it's all happening. Don't miss out. FOMO is real, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the postmortem show comes up next. And meanwhile, you can follow Buzz Burbank. Go search for Buzz Burbank on Twitter. Search for Buzz Burbank on Facebook. You can find him there and enjoy.
Sometimes I put something there.
He's waiting to meet you. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, have a great rest of your Tuesday, a great rest of your week, and we'll see you on Thursday. Bye-bye.